discuss immediately following our time of prayer together. So please be there. And it's available for all men. You don't have to be a member of this church to come to our men's prayer breakfast. Just show up and get ready to be filled with good food, to be filled with the Word of God, and to be filled with fellowship with one another. So it's a great time. Also, prayer chain, the prayer chain list, for those of you who are on the prayer chain, is available on the back there. You can pick one of those up so you know how that's going to be working this year. It's kind of shook up a little bit and laid out a little differently, so please make sure you get one of those so you know who you're supposed to be calling on that prayer chain. And then also, as I mentioned last week, the backers have stepped up and signed up for
together.
So be willing to work with our youth group.
Please be there.
Teams. And it's available for all we need. All men. You don't have to be a member of this
somebody
church.
Somebody
to
take over
for our bus ministry. Show up and
who
can go pick up the Waters kids, pick up Dolly at this time. And unless we can come up with some alternative ways of getting these people here, we need a bus driver. And the sooner we get a bus driver, the sooner the backers can get started working with our youth. I've been here over a year now, and we've had no youth group, and we really need to get that going because, you know, they're our future. These are the guys, you know, and they're going to, you know, our teens are getting ready to go into the world. We need to get them into the full armor of God because the world will show no mercy. Kids are walking away from God in droves and even out of good churches. And so we need to make sure we are preparing our kids to go into the world to know why they believe what they believe. And to stand firm, they need to be able to contend for the faith. So, please, if that's something you're praying about, even if you aren't committed to it but you're praying about it, would you please get a hold of me so I can pray with you? Anybody, if you're just even thinking about it, we need, I'd love to know that so I can be praying with you. All right, and with that, I think that's everything I had for our announcements. So if our men would come forward, we'll go ahead and take up this morning's offering. Brother Dick, would you go ahead and pray over this morning's offering?
Again, Father, we just thank you for the beautiful day and the opportunity to come into your house, and we do ask, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and minds and just bless and glorify yourself to us, Father, through your word and your message. We do thank you for the opportunity that we've just had a full year of 23 to serve you and worship you, Lord, and help glorify you. We just ask, Lord, that in 24 you would just open up the doors to us and just keep allowing us to keep telling people about Jesus. And again, glorifying you and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We just thank you, Father, for allowing your only begotten to come forth and die for us on the cross, that we might have salvation and the possibility of salvation, and he is our great hope. And we just ask you to be with us now today and just open our pastor up and speak through him as only you can, that you would just give your special message to each of us as we hopefully came looking forward to. We again thank you for the abundance of what you've given us this week, and again ask you would allow us to give back to you just a small portion of that, and that you would take any monies brought in and that you would glorify yourself through them, multiply them as only you can, and help us put them where you would have them to be. Place, and we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. message from this series, Season to Celebrate. Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are coming about this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking at the time of the Lord, we offer the answer of our blood and blood for the joy of the Lord. This is one of the most common phrases to occur in the new year. So many people want to establish New Year's resolutions, to do something different, to change themselves. This is a time of year of new beginnings, and many people think they can be a new person by setting resolutions to lose weight, live healthier, get a better job, get an education, maybe get some certifications. Well, whatever that might be, maybe a person is just looking at doing volunteer work, being more involved in their church. Whatever the resolution is, they want to do something different. They want to be a new person in 2024. The problem is the new year, new you outlook typically doesn't last very long. Statistics show that close to 25% of people who set a New Year's resolution give up on them in the first week. They give up in the first week. And you can bet even more people give up before January comes to an end. So why is that? Why do they give up so easily? I believe it's due to a lack of preparedness. We just are not prepared to endure the requirements needed to accomplish the goals we set for ourselves. I believe this stems from setting unrealistic goals for ourselves and that we lack the patience needed to achieve those goals. Simply stated, we give up too quickly. We are unsure where to start, how to maintain progress, and how to keep focused, so we just end up giving up. In Hebrews chapter 12, the picture we see here is of an arena. Right, we see an arena. The idea here is to talk about running a race. Right, we see it's like picturing a big huge arena during the Olympics, and there's that oval shaped track out there with like a grass field in the middle. Athletes walking all over around the down on the field and preparing for races and preparing for their competitions. And in the stands, they're surrounded by spectators. who are looking on. The runners are those believers who were experiencing the trials of the first century church. And Paul was one of those runners. And he was even imprisoned not too far from the Roman Colosseum where Christians suffered and were murdered. Paul was at the end of his race, as we can surmise from what he wrote in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Paul finished his race. He was a faithful runner for God. But now we see here in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, some believe it is Paul, but nobody's 100% sure. I know the author to be God. So God tells us that He is challenging runners to finish theirs, to finish their race. The question is, are you a runner? Are you in the race, or are you simply sitting on the sideline watching the race pass you by? If you plan on doing anything for the Lord, you must lace up your shoes, lace up your shoes, get on the track, and get into the race. None of us know what God has in store for the coming new year. And there's a lot of stuff people are looking at. Who's going to be in the White House in 2025? We find that out in 2024. What's going to go on at this church? We've seen a lot of fruit in this church in 2023. Praying for more fruit in 2024. God has been good to us in 2023. And we're excited. But we don't know what's in store. Jesus could come back tomorrow. So none of us know what's in store in the coming year. But don't let that stop you from getting into the race. Are you willing to do something for the Lord with your life in 2024? This morning I want you to see three conditions from our text that will help you to run the race of the Christian life in the coming new year. And the first condition is the preparation for the race. The preparation for the race. Look at the first part of, look at here, verse 12, or verse 1 of chapter 12. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." God wants us all prepared for the race we are going to be running for Him. As we prepare for the race of the Christian life in the new year, we must first consider two important tasks. The first task is remove the hindrances. Let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. We must remove the hindrance. First century Olympians typically wore robes when they were walking around. They had their robes on, right? But they didn't run their races with robes on. The robes came off when it was time to run the race. Why? Because the robe was a hindrance. It was going to, you didn't, one guy running without a robe was probably going to beat a guy who stayed in his robe. So we must remove the hindrances. Just as they had to set aside hindrances to run, so too will you as a Christian need, if you want to run the race of the Christian life. There are many things each of us must set aside if we want to run our race effectively. And while not all of these things in our lives are sinful, they are still activities or items or passions that must be set aside if we're going to run a good race for the Lord. Ephesians 4:22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. We must set aside those things that would keep us from running our race effectively. As the army of Alexander the Great was advancing on Persia, it seemed at one critical point the troops might be defeated. The soldiers had taken so much plunder from their previous campaigns that they'd become weighted down and were losing speed and effectiveness in combat. Alexander commanded that all the spoils from the previous battles be thrown into a heap and burned. His men complained bitterly, but soon saw the wisdom of his order. with his insistence on ridding his men of the weight of their plunder, he assured their victory in future battles. Someone later wrote, "It was as if wings had been given to them. They walked lightly again." See, there are certain things that can hinder us in our race for the Lord, that the race has for us in this Christian life. You know, hobbies, friendships, habits, or activities, they commonly creep into our lives. Now again, not saying that these things are all bad. It's not saying you can't have hobbies and you can't have certain activities. But if they overwhelm you and they become your central focus, how can you run the race that God has set before you? I have hobbies I like to do. I did taxidermy for 18 years or 16 years, something like that. I enjoy doing that. If I put all my focus all week long into taxidermy, what kind of message will I be able to bring Sunday morning to a church, to the church? See, God has a race for me. So I need to balance that. I need to be prepared. I need to do what I need to do so that I can be the best for the Lord. Because He's called me to feed His sheep. And I can't do that if my focus is elsewhere. And it's no different for anyone else. Whatever God has for you, whatever He needs you to do, you must be willing to set things aside to do the things that He has for you. They weigh us down because they take our time and focus away from the opportunities and responsibilities we have for the Lord. We must set anything aside that would keep us from going on for God. Any sin or clutter that keeps us from being what God wants us to be. Now, we had some friends that came and visited us yesterday and went out. And, you know, one of the things we got to talking about is discipleship. Many churches are failing today. Oh, yeah, you see churches filled to capacity with believers, with Christians, that many of walk outside the doors of those churches and their friends had no idea. If they didn't tell them they were a Christian, they wouldn't know they were a Christian. Because churches are dropping the ball with discipleship. People are getting saved. And that's great. But then the church has dropped the ball with teaching a Christian what they're supposed to do with their life as a Christian. They're allowing these people to go into the world blind and unaware of what they're supposed to be doing for the Lord. And they're dropping the ball. Discipleship is something that if you're a young Christian, you need to be in discipleship. And if you're the person who led that person to the Lord, we should be discipling them. And the whole idea is if we let other things, we drop the ball because we're too busy doing other things. I don't have time to do discipleship with them. Because I got all these other things I prefer to do. And that's the hard part. That's why churches don't want to do soul winning. They don't want to go knock on doors because if I lead someone to the Lord, then I might have to invest my time in them. Well, yeah, you would. And that's laying up treasures in heaven, which are far better than all the heads that I mount. I need crowns in heaven, not horns on my wall. We must lay these things aside if we want to run the race that God has for us. If we plan to run a good race, we must not only remove hindrances, but we must also turn from sin. Look here again at verse 1. It says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Right? We must lay aside. This leads us to our second task. We must repent from sin. Repent from sin. The word repent it refers to a change of mind. Repentance is changing my mind. So what do I need to change my mind about? Well, I need to focus on who God is and who I am. God is holy. I'm a sinner. What separates me from God? Sin. Then I need to change my mind. If I want to be with God, I need to go sin bad, God good. And I need to change my view of sin. What, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We must change our way of thinking, about sin. And we need to get to where God is about sin. It's disgusting. He despises it. He wants nothing to do with it. We need to get to that same point. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But boy, we should feel really bad when we make mistakes. If you can make a mistake and you don't even think about how it's affected God, you have a problem. We must repent from sin. The sin that easily besets us is the sin which constantly discourages us or brings shame. It constantly keeps coming back, even though we realize that it will only bring us heartache. Sins such as pride, procrastination, slothfulness, bitterness, anger. And we'd be here a long time if I was going to list them all. But you know the list goes on. You know what sin you're dealing with. If you're dealing with sin, we need to take care of it. We must turn from it. We must change our view of sin and change our minds. These sins will keep us from pressing onward in the Christian life. We must change our minds this coming new year and turn away from sin so we won't have any distractions from our race. Psalm 18, verse 23 says, "I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity." We must keep ourselves from sin. To run a good race in the new year, we need to prepare for it by laying aside every weight and the sin which would hold us back. So God surely wants us to be prepared for the race, but He also wants us to understand the pace of the race. The pace of the race. Look here, the last part of verse 1 here. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Excuse me. For most people, running is an intimidating sport. You know, I was in the military, and we had to run to stay fit. We had to be able to do a mile and a half in a set amount of time. And I'm telling you what, you want to hear murmuring and complaining? Go spend some time in the guard. Because all these guys are complaining about the running they have to do. A mile and a half's easy. You know, I like running, so it was easy for me to say. But not everybody likes running. You know, it's not the actual running part that's the problem, right? I mean, all of us are naturally able to run. And if you don't believe that, take a long walk in a really bad neighborhood some evening, right? You'll learn that you're built to run. You can run if you need to, right? The problem is, it's the pace that causes the problem. We got that natural ability to be able to sprint if we need to, but nobody likes long distance running, or most people don't. Many people struggle with the pace when running long distance. Many think, sure, I can make it to the end of the driveway, but after that, we've got a problem, right? And this is no different for us as Christians running the Christian race that we call life. We often fail to set the appropriate New Year's goals, such as being more faithful to personal devotions, or being more faithful in our prayer life, or how about our Bible study time, even just reading our Bible, committing to reading through the Bible in a year, even to becoming a closer-knit family. Whatever it might be that we need to set those, we need to be more faithful to these goals. The problem that arises is that as we think about it, all that is involved in reaching our goals, we become overwhelmed. Just remember, God will not try us above what we are able to accomplish. His pace is sustainable, and He has designed this race to be obtainable. He wants everyone to be a winner, right? He wants us all to succeed because we represent Him. I want you to see two thoughts that pertain to the pace of the race. And the first thought is, it's a set pace. It's a set pace. Notice here again, it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, right? Notice we are to run. What are we to run? We run the race. Not a race or whichever race is set before us, but the race that God has for us. Our race is specific. The word run comes from the Greek word trecho, right? From which we get the word track. So, you know, we got a our athletes that go out onto a running track, right? And so just as there are lanes of a track that are predetermined, so are certain things about the race of life we are running. God has predetermined some things in your life that He wants from you. So you need to stay in your lane. You need to focus on what He has for you. Now, it can be confusing, right? But understand, have you ever seen, like, when the guys set up on the track? If you've never watched track, it can look a little confusing. You see these guys out on there on the track, and you see, like, one guy will be lined up here, and another guy in the next lane will be out in front of him further, and they're on the curve, you know? And then the next guy's up further, and the next guy's up further, and you're thinking, wow, that guy way behind, look at all the guys that are getting a head start. Why do they get a head start? They're not getting a head start because, as you understand, each lane is actually longer than the next, because the further you go outside, the longer that lane is. And so each person is actually starting at the same spot, just in a different lane. You know what the thing is? If you watch those runners, what do? Do you see the guy who's in the very back getting down, looking at the other runners, thinking, wow, this is no fair. Why are they all getting a head start? That's not what these runners do. Watch them when they set up on the track and they get down and they're on. What are they doing? They are straight ahead, focused, straight down the track where they need to go. They're focusing on their lane. They're not looking up ahead at what the other guys are doing. They're focused on their lane because they have a set race. They know what they need to do. You know, and it seems confusing, but I want you to see that these guys are not looking at other racers, comparing themselves to these other racers. They're staying in their lane. We are warned by Paul not to compare ourselves with others. God has a race for us. Don't be worried about the race that somebody, some other Christian friend is running and what they're doing. Focus on what God has for you. We do not compare ourselves to others. Paul warns us of this in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves. And comparing comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. There's no wisdom in that. Don't compare yourself. We're all different, and God uses us in different ways. We've talked about that as the body of Christ. We are of the body, but not all of us can be the mouth, not all of us can be ears, not all of us can be arms, not all of us can be hands. We all have a part that God wants us for within the church. That makes us a complete body. So we must keep that in mind. Don't compare yourselves. We must remember that each of us are in a different lane. Each of us has a course set by God. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. How do they now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." What is Paul saying here? We're all in a race. All of us. If you're a believer, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are in a race that He has for you, a set race. All right? So, he says, therefore, we're all in a race, and we run for a prize. So, run that ye may obtain. Run your race to obtain the prize. What's the prize? Jesus is the prize. Right? Run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate. Does anybody remember the word temperate? What's that mean? We covered that as one of our fruits of the Spirit that we covered a little over a month ago. One of the last ones. Temperance is self-control. What's he say here? He says, look, striving for the mastery in self-control in all things. Having self-control is key to having victory over our sin. Right? And the only way we can exercise self-control is to be filled with the Spirit. You can't do it in your own power. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's through Christ in you that you exercise self-control. And that's what Paul's saying here. I must exercise self-control in all things. What's he say? Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. The world does it. You know, these athletes are running to obtain their little corruptible crown, but we run a race for eternal treasures. Our stuff's not going to burn up and go away. We're reaching people for Christ, souls to be saved, to go to heaven. We're setting up treasures in heaven. Ours is an incorruptible crown. So what's Paul go on to say? I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I. He actually changes it more to boxing. Talks about, I'm not fighting as one that beateth the air. What I'm doing has a purpose. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I prepare myself for the race. I'm prepared to be used of God. Why? Because if I'm not, I could be a castaway. That word castaway means to be disqualified. You want to get disqualified from the race? God will pull you out. He will take you out of the race if you're not doing what He wants you to be doing. If you're just being a stumbling block, you're causing others to go down bad roads, He will pull you out of the race. And that's what Paul's saying. I do not want to be that person. Why do we focus on our lane? Well, have any of you watched video? Have you ever seen somebody who took their eyes out of the lane, looked back, stumbled and fell, caused other people to fall? They get disqualified. They come out of their lane. They're disqualified. You don't see a guy running the hurdle race jumping into the next lane to run over someone else's hurdles. He gets disqualified for that. Stay in your lane. Do what God has for you. Don't do anything that would disqualify you from the race. Don't compare ourselves to others. Be prepared. If not, we could be disqualified from the race. Our course is between us and God, and it is set. But not only is our course set, but the completion is set. Guess what? There's a finish line. There is a finish line. No one can run forever. Every day is a gift from God, and none of us knows when our race will end here on earth. But we must understand that there is a completion date. James 4, verse 14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." I know one thing, as I get older and older, as a young kid, I used to think my parents were always saying, man, the days go by faster and faster the older I get. And I'm thinking, man, as a little kid, I'm like, oh, they're just dragging on. I can't wait to graduate high school. You know, and now you understand, our life here is but a vapor. It will be gone. 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years is nothing to eternity. Paul knew the only life worth living was one in which we run our best race with God each and every day. We need to run our best race with God each and every day because we only get so much time. You don't get tomorrow back. Tomorrow's gone. You've lost it. That's why we must take advantage of the time that we have, that God gives us. 2 Timothy 4, 6-8, "For I am now ready to be offered." This is again Paul again. "And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them, all them also that love His appearing." Life is short. Live it to the fullest for the Lord. Don't squander your time. Psalm 90, verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Colossians 4, 5. "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." The first thought was that it's a set pace. The second thought to this point is it's a steady pace. It is a steady pace, right? Let us run our race with patience. We are instructed to run with patience, something many of us don't have. I know myself, I always tell my family all the time, look, I'm not a doctor, so I don't need patience, right? But ultimately, we all need patience. We need to be patient. Runners that train for a marathon are trained to start gradually and build themselves up. I've never run a marathon, but I've gotten to myself, the farthest I've ever run was 10 miles. But I didn't go out one day and just run 10 miles. I started by running a couple for a while, then moved it up to 3, then moved it up to 4, and worked my way up to a 10-mile run. So, you know, think about it, in a marathon, it's a lot more than 10 miles, right? So a person needs to build themselves up. Sprinters are trained differently, right? Sprinters train differently than long-distance runners. But if we go into a long-distance run, but we trained for sprinting, you can expect to burn out. How many marathon runners take off at a dead sprint? Now, I know some of those guys, when you see them at the Olympics, looks like a sprint to me, okay? Because they can run. But ultimately, they are not sprinting. They're not there. It's not a 100-yard dash. So, sprinters are trained differently. To apply their training to the long-distance run results in fatigue and burnout. And this is similar to the Christian life. It must start gradually. Build up if you want to win. Oftentimes, Christians take a sprint approach to what God intended to be a long-distance run. We must find our steady pace. Be patient in keeping it. Look, you're not going to read through the Bible in January, the first week of January, right? Take your time. Read the Bible. Set goals. Read through it in 3 months. Read through it in 6 months. Read through it in a year. Start gradual. Let God help you achieve your goals. Make them achievable. As we continue to be patient and build upon our successes, we must not forget that there will also be trials along the way. And we must not allow these trials to take us out of the race. Patience will also be needed in our trials. James 1, verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The word patience comes from the Greek word hupomone. Hupomone, meaning steadfastness, constancy, or endurance. It gives the idea of not being swayed from your purpose. So what's the big idea? We should be patient in our race and not to be swayed from the purpose, from our purpose that God has for us, which is serving Him with our lives. Trials are just another distraction that can cause us to give up. We start the race and then something happens that takes us out of the race. We become bystanders rather than remaining in the race and running to the finish. The best illustration I can give you with regards to what I'm talking about here is, look at COVID. Look what happened to our churches during COVID. This church experienced a loss of membership. People have just left the church and never came back because of COVID. Many churches dealt with that. Churches shut their doors because of COVID. Because people walked away. They allowed a trial in their life to take them out of the race and put them on the sideline. And there's still a lot of people still standing on the sidelines right now. And if you're able to be in church, you should be in church. God says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's His desire. What brings honor and glory to God? That we do, and that we're obedient to Him and what He desires from us. He desires us to be in church. Why? Because He knows what our fellowship means to one another, that we can hold each other accountable, that we can be there for one another. When somebody's sick, this church takes them meals and provides for them and helps them. We gather around. This church, nobody needs welfare in this church because we are the welfare program for one another. We're a family, and that's what families do. And we're a growing family. Praise the Lord. Many of you may know people who have still been affected by COVID. Encourage them to come back. God is way more powerful than COVID. Trials of your faith should produce patience, not cause us to lose hope and give up. James 5:8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The fact that Jesus is coming back should give us the hope. The reason, he's why we should be coming to church, because we are looking forward to the day that he comes back. But we still need to be busy about his business. We need to be patient. In Athens long ago, games used to be held in honor of Grecian gods. One such game was the torch race, a race of torchbearers run at night in honor of Prometheus, the god of fire. The starting point was 1.5 miles outside the city in the olive grove where Plato met with his academy and where the sanctuary of Prometheus was built. The winner was not necessarily the first runner to reach the finish line. The winner was the runner who first reached the finish line with his torch still burning. Now try running with a torch. Go ahead, run a sprint if you want. You're probably going to burn out your torch. You have to run with patience. You have to find that pace that takes that flame and keeps it from burning out. Running with a burning torch requires pacing and patience. This year, keep your torch. What is your torch? The light of your testimony of the gospel of Christ. You need to keep your torch lit as you run your race. Run with patience. Stay in love with Jesus and be faithful to God. If you can do these things despite the trials and tests that will surely come your way, you will be victorious. So to this point so far, we've looked at the preparation for the race and the pace of the race. Our final condition we want to take a look at is the pursuit of our race. The pursuit of our race. It is clear, as Christians, we are not running a race for some corruptible prize like a gold medal. In fact, we are running for something so much more valuable and permanent. The prize we seek is Jesus, and we should always be running after Him. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are pursuing a person, Jesus Christ. Paul tells us the primary purpose of our race and the trials he the primary purpose for his race and the trials he endured was to know Jesus. He wanted to know Jesus. Philippians 3:10, Paul says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. As we press onward in this new year, let's make sure we are focused on our ultimate goal, which is developing our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the main focus of 2024, growing closer to our Savior. Success in the world is typically measured by how much wealth one can acquire or how popular one becomes. However, the Bible tells us that we can have good success in our race in Joshua 1, verses 8. How do we have good success? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You want to have good success? Stay in the Word of God. You want to have good success in 2024? Then start pursuing the one who can give it to you, Jesus Christ. The only way to know Jesus is to be in His Word. Meditate on His Word. It says day and night. Make time for God's Word. Maybe that's a resolution you might want to set this year. Spending time, getting into the Word of God, studying the Word of God, developing your relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you do this, it will change you into the runner God wants you to be in the race He has set before you. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Amen? Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful." That word quick, if you have your Bibles there, underline it, circle it, do whatever, but that word quick means alive. It means alive. "For the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Gaylord Kambarami, the general secretary of the Bible Society in Zimbabwe, tried to give a New Testament to a very belligerent man. The man insisted he would roll the pages and use them to make cigarettes. Mr. Camberani said, "I understand that, but at least promise to read the page of the New Testament before you smoke it." The man agreed, and the two went their separate ways. 15 years later, the two men met again at a convention in Zimbabwe. The scripture-smoking pagan had been saved and was now a full-time evangelist. He told the audience, "I smoked Matthew, I smoked Mark, and I smoked Luke. But when I got to John 3:16, I couldn't smoke anymore. My life was changed from that moment." Aren't you glad God's book is more than just words on a page? We must be in the Word if we are going to pursue Jesus. But we're not only pursuing a person, we're pursuing a pattern. Have you ever noticed that things are easier to learn in life when we are given a pattern to follow? God knew this, and that's why He sent His Son to be our perfect pattern. Look at verse 3. "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Jesus is the example by which all Christians should run their race. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 23 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." Jesus is our perfect example by which we are to run our Christian race. What examples does He give us? Do we see in this passage? It says here, Jesus did no sin. That's the example for us. God commands us, "Be holy, for I am holy." Well, I can't be holy, but I can sure strive to be holy. I can strive for righteousness. I can do all I can. I might not be sinless, but I can sin less. And that's what He's saying here. You know, Jesus did no sin. So we should strive to be like Jesus in every way, in every aspect of our life. Giving up things that maybe, I'm sorry, but we enjoy certain things. But in God's eyes, they're sin. And that causes a problem. We might need to give those things up, whether we like it or not. "If you love me, keep my commandments," Jesus said. Well, He never said, "If you love me, keep on sinning." He gives us grace to have victory over sin. We can beat whatever sin it is that we're dealing with if we will just turn to Jesus and allow His grace to work in us. What else did He do? "Neither was guile found in His mouth." That word guile means deceit. He was never dishonest. God is always tells the truth. He keeps His promises. He never breaks a promise. Guess what? There's no guile there. We need to make sure that when we tell people something, we hold to it. We keep our word. There should be no guile found in our mouths. "When He was reviled, reviled not again. They slapped Him in the face. They yanked hair out of the hairs from His beard, out of His face. They made fun of Him. They told Him, hey, while He was blindfolded, they slapped Him across the face and say, 'Prophesy, tell me who just slapped you.'" What did Jesus do? Nothing. "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." He didn't revile back. He didn't go back. When He suffered in His suffering, He didn't seek revenge. He went to a cross for every one of them. As Christians, we need to be more loving to people regardless of how they treat us. We need to turn the other cheek when they slap us across the face. We need to be like Jesus. "When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." Are you committed to Jesus Christ? Because He's the one that judgeth righteously. Jesus is our perfect example. As we consider Him as our example, we also consider His endurance. Despite His suffering, He never gave up on us, so we should not give up on Him. Here in a second, I want to show you a quick video. I want you to just watch this video. It's about a man named John Stephen Aquari. John Stephen Aquari was a marathon runner in the 1968 Olympics. He ran for the nation of Tanzania in Africa. Less than half through the race, halfway through the race, he was jockeying for position. They got tangled up, and he went down really hard, dislocating his knee, jamming his shoulder really bad, and he got hurt really bad. In the Olympics, 75 runners entered that race. Only 57 finished. I want you to watch this video as it plays and just think on that for a minute.
At the 1968 Mexico City Marathon, three men earned the right to stand on the victory platform. The winners of the gold, silver, and bronze Olympic medals. But for some, the reward is a personal one. The knowledge that they finished what they set out to do. A little over an hour after the winner of the marathon crossed the finish line, John Stephen Aquari of Tanzania approaches the stadium, the last man to complete the journey. A voice calls from within to go on, and so he goes on. Afterwards, it was written, "Today we have seen a young African runner who symbolizes the finest in the human spirit, a performance that gives true dignity to sport, a performance that lifts sport out of the category of grown men playing at games, a performance that gives meaning to the word courage." Perhaps the words of John Stephen Aquari epitomize all that is right in the human spirit. When asked why he did not quit, he said simply, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." The light in this Tanzanian runner is a beacon to us all, to endure to the end, to finish the race, however long and hard the road.
God did not send His Son all the way from heaven so He could start a race. He sent His Son so He could finish the race. And from the cross of Calvary, before He breathed His last breath, Jesus said, "It is finished." Thus finishing the race His Father had for Him. Jesus endured the contradiction of sinners and the shame of the cross. He did not quit, and neither should we. Not on our marriages, not on our families, not on our ministry, not on our church, and most assuredly not on our God. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Stay in your lane and stay in the race. Never give up. What are your goals for the new year? Do you seek to be a better father and spiritual leader of your home? Maybe a mother who worries less and trusts God more? A Christian who is faithful to read and study God's Word and serve Him better in whatever capacity God calls you for? Write out your personal goals for this year and share them with someone who can hold you accountable. Make preparations now so as to help you keep your goals in 2024. Don't let this year pass you by without first committing to do more for the cause of Christ. Set aside your sin and run patiently the race God has for you. Always keep your eye on the prize, Jesus Christ. Realizing that nothing we do for Him is ever in vain. One day you will be standing face to face with our Lord and Savior. And it will be then that you realize everything you have done and endured for Him was worth it all. Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. May the cause of Christ be your purpose in 2024 as you consider His will and His example. May you follow Him each and every day in the new year, and may it all be for His glory. If you're able to stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, no looking around, please stand, heads bowed if you're able to, eyes closed. I want to offer just a moment of invitation. The Scriptures make it very clear that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here this morning who's never trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, if you're here this morning and if you were to pass away today, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd spend eternity in heaven? If you're not 100% sure, if there's anyone in here like that, would you just slip your hand in the air? I want to pray for you. Anybody who's not 100% sure they would spend eternity in heaven, anyone here like that? Believers, we've been challenged today with, as we look forward to a coming new year, as pressing onward, what are you going to do for your Lord in 2024? What can you do better? All year we've looked at Thus Saith the Lord, and all year we've had invitations where we've been challenged with things that we know we could do better. I could be a better soul winner. I could spend more time in my Bible. I could be a better prayer warrior. I need to be doing devotions. Whatever it might be between you and God, whatever race He has for you, you know you could do a better job in that. If that's you this morning, you know you could be doing a better job of staying in your lane and focusing on the race that God has for you. Would you slip your hand in the air? I want to pray for you. Amen. Hands everywhere. Amen. Amen. As the music plays, I want you to take this time. This time is yours. Pray about what God has put on your heart. And if the Holy Spirit's convicting you to come forward to an old-fashioned altar, don't be afraid to come forward. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve Him. Just be faithful. Come forward and deal with whatever God has put on your heart. Maybe He wants to talk to you about the race He has for you. And He wants you to be better about your race. He wants you to stay in your lane. That's you. Again, just come forward and deal with it. An old-fashioned altar. As the music plays, this time is yours.